Again, we're happy that you're here tonight. Invite you to come back at every opportunity you might have to be with the church family here at Gardner Lane. Also, for those that are coming to the Wednesday night class, be sure and pick up a workbook for this Wednesday night. Tonight, an old sermon that we're going to go through for just a few minutes, a little bit of a different slant to it, but tonight we're going to talk about Abraham offering Isaac. As we go through here, we'll just read verses 1 through 19. You can go in your Bible or phone or whatever, or follow along on the charts behind. It says, "Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son." Well, he had had a son before. He had Ishmael. But this is the son of promise. He says, "Whom you love." And, of course, that was true. 100 years old when a child is born and how much that child means to him and to Sarah and to the promises and to the covenant of God. And no doubt he loved him greatly. "Go to the land of Moriah." That'd be in our time that we know about it, Jerusalem. "But go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I tell you." What kind of reaction would you expect? I don't know at this time, from looking at the text here, probably Abraham was probably between 115 and 120 years old. And to offer that son, that would have to go through his mind, although he obeyed God. What did Abraham do? Well, he didn't do like Moses, so I have trouble speaking. Didn't do like Jeremiah, I'm too young. Didn't do like Ananias, that fellow over there, Saul, he's causing harm. What did he do? Well, it says he rose up early in the morning, like people do, especially when they're having some things to go through their mind. A lot of times at night anymore, I just can't sleep and get up and walk and pace sometimes. And this is what Abraham is doing. He's getting up early in the morning. "Took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son." And it says he split wood for the burnt offering. Over 100 years old. And he's out there chopping the wood for the burnt offering. "Arose and went to the place where God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes." I suppose some, maybe 50, 60 miles away from where he'd started. "And saw the place afar off. Abraham said to the young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Verse 6. "So Abraham took wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son." Can you imagine? Old man tying up that young man. "Took the fire in his hand, a knife, and two of them went together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here I am, son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering. Abraham, verse 8, says that God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two went together. It says there they came to the place that God had told him. Abraham built an altar there. That wasn't unique for Abraham. Every place where Abraham settled, he would go and he would build an altar to God. He placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar. Upon the wood, Abraham stretched out his knife and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Certainly the ultimate expression of Abraham's faith. And God did provide. It says verse 13, "And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said this day, 'In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided.'" God blessed Abraham's obedience. It said, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." And as we study this, we see passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. "And all these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." I'm very happy that we study the Old Testament. There was a time with the churches that seemed like they just didn't want to study the Old Testament at all. I'm glad we're just going through it book after book to understand the scheme of redemption and what God desires for us. Well, tonight, for just a few minutes, just want to look at three New Testament references, and then the lesson will be yours. Just 3 points, real quick, and the lesson will be yours. James chapter 2, verse 20 through 24. "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see that a man is justified by works, not by faith alone. Justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Some people have trouble harmonizing this with Romans. Martin Luther had trouble harmonizing this. He thought that James was a book of straw because of what it stated. But as we look at this for just a couple of minutes, Abraham's work in offering Isaac. First, we go over to Romans chapter 3 and in verse 20, and we understand it was not a work of the law. Romans 3 and in verse 20, it says, because by the works of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Was it a work of the law? Because the law hadn't been given yet. So we understand that. We can go over to Ephesians and in chapter 2 and in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. In Ephesians 2 and in verse 8, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It wasn't a work of righteous merit. The idea of I merited salvation because look at the great things I've done. He didn't even go through with it. He believed God. He was going to. But it wasn't because of righteous merit. It wasn't because of man's devising over in Colossians and in chapter 2 and in verses 20 through 23, Colossians 2, in verses 20 through 23, it says, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and the teachings of men? These matters, which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Wasn't the work that Abraham devised. He didn't come up with the fact of killing his son, sacrificing his son, going up to Jerusalem or to Mount Moriah. That wasn't his devising. Oh, what was it? What was it? It was a work of faith. A work of faith. Just simple, simple lesson. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? Obedience essential to perfect faith, or the idea of complete faith. It was a work that God told him to do. And he had enough faith. He had enough faith to obey God. He didn't demonstrate confidence in himself. He demonstrated confidence in God and what God wanted him to do. The basis for my hope, your hope, is salvation by grace. It's a gift through faith. The question is, what have I done to demonstrate my faith? What have I done to demonstrate my faith? In fact, is there anything that I would refuse to do? I don't know, this happened maybe 30 years ago. I was preaching down in the country. And a fella came in, two people. And it was between Bible class and worship. We had about 6 minutes before time for worship to start. And fella said, I've been studying with these two people. And these two people, they want to be baptized. That's fine. You don't hear that too many times in between Bible study and worship service. So you're delighted in that. So I said, okay, come on. So I'm walking about 3 steps, and he said, but we might have a problem with their marriage. So I had to turn around. Go back. I had about 4 minutes. I said, look, I don't have time to get into this with you right now. I said, service is getting ready to start. If you desire to be baptized, we want to be baptized. We want to be baptized. If you desire to be baptized, that means you're going to put Jesus as the Lord of your life. You understand that? Oh, yeah, Brother Miller, we understand that. Yeah, Jesus is the Lord of our life, yeah. I said, he tells me there might be a problem with your marriage. I said, if we find out there is a problem with your marriage, are you willing to end this marriage? And they said, no. No, we're not. And like the rich man, they went away sorrowful. Because they really didn't want to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And they understood they were in a situation to where they were going to have to end that marriage, evidently. Number two. In the Hebrews, in chapter 11, great hall of faith we talk about. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only son, but of whom it was said, and Isaac your seed shall be called. Why would Abraham do this? Well, we understand in the reading in 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. You don't hear about the resurrection of the dead usually in the first 22 chapters of Genesis. But he concluded in his own mind and heart, some way or another, that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, from which we also received him in a figurative sense. You see, trust is essential, the essential element of obedience. Again, the basis for my hope of salvation by grace through faith. And do I trust God to provide for me if I obey him implicitly? A lot of people, they say, and I've heard this more than once, I just don't think I can live the Christian life. I just don't think I can live the Christian life. Well, third point, the lesson's yours tonight. The third point is not quite so evident. It's a statement that's made in chapter 22 over and over again. In fact, 3 times. The statement, God will provide. In verse 8, He says again in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. In the mouth of the Lord, it shall be provided. Well, we understand, as we're going to study in our series on Hebrews on Sunday morning, it was not possible the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. But can I trust that God is going to provide for me? We understood today in our lesson concerning Christ the King that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The only way we're going to win this battle, the only way we're going to win this war, is to get on the side of Jesus Christ. Because He's the conquering King. Well, John said on the banks of the Jordan, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In John chapter 1, verse 34, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. A beautiful passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You look at that in conjunction with Abraham. For I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And there again in verse 16, have not withheld your son, your only son. You see, folks, the point of the lesson is, after these 3 points, that God would not allow Abraham to do for him. God would not allow Abraham to do for him what He did for us in giving His only son. We would encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel tonight by being baptized or coming back to your first love, we invite you to come right now while together we stand and we sing.